But from John chapter 18, I'd like to read from verse 28. And then we'll go through chapter 19. But starting at verse 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat of the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, Then behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, and brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we know that as sad as it is to hear what happened to the Son of God, we understand that it was needed. And Father, he was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. This was your plan. But Father, we thank you that we don't just serve someone who died on that cross in our place, but Father, we serve a risen Saviour. And this makes him, Father, greater than all, that even the grave could not have power over him. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to pray to a cross, we don't have to consider a tomb, but Lord, we can look to the heavens and know that he is seated on the right hand of your throne this very moment. And we can come before him and praise him and worship him and give thanks to him. And Lord, this day we come giving praise and thanks for what he has done for us and for what he continues to do now. And Lord, for what we can look forward to in the future. And so we pray as we consider these things that we have read about just now, that Lord, you may bless us and encourage us in your word, I pray. Amen. I'm guessing that most of us at some stage in our life has experienced that wonderful relief of being let off from something that you've done wrong. Maybe you've disobeyed at home and mum and dad just let you off without any punishment. It's nice when that happens. Maybe at school you cheated but you got let off. Maybe at work you did something wrong but the boss let you off. But you experience that relief of being let off from something you know you had done wrong. I know there was a time when I was trying to learn the piano, and I would go for my weekly piano lessons, and it was about 10 minutes away from home. My niece was teaching me, and got a phone call at my brother's house. It was Linda, quite frantically saying that the house was on fire. She had spilt some stuff on the oven, and all the flames were coming up. And so I get this news that my house is on fire. So I jumped in the car, and I acted very irrationally, to say the least, and I drove as quickly as I possibly could to get home. Now in Coffs Harbour, the main street was called High Street, like ours, and it was a 60-kilometre zone, and there was always a police car there with a radar. And I was flying down that street. I'm too ashamed to tell you how fast I was going, but it was well over 120 kilometres. And so I was very irrational in what I was doing. And sure enough, there was this police car behind me, chasing me all of a sudden. Lights going, the siren going. And I pulled off that road and I pulled over and the police car pulled up behind me. I jumped out of my car and I ran up to him and I opened his door. And I don't know if he's shuffling to try and get his gun or something to shoot me, but I said, my house is on fire, I'm not stopping, you can follow me if you want. So I closed his door and I ran off, jumped in my car and took off again. And so he's following me around the streets and I pull up. Thankfully there was the fire brigade was there by that. Oh, he called the fire brigade. Anyway, so somehow the fire brigade was there, I got there and I ran out and there was, I don't know if there was smoke coming out of the house, but thankfully Linda came out and she was crying, blah, 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 which I think saved me, you know. He could see how sad she was, but it was all under control. Anyway, the fire engine came and, you know, they went in and sorted everything. And so being the law-abiding citizen that I try to be, I went up to the policeman because he stood there very patiently. I said, look, I understand that I was speeding. And I know that I need to get a fine, and so I'll accept whatever you give me. He said, well, that's a automatic loss of license and an $1,800 fine. Oh, you know, I wasn't thinking it'd be that bad. Okay. Oh, okay. He goes, look, I understand, I'll let you off. Oh, the relief. I don't know if you've ever enjoyed that from a policeman. But the relief. I've had another experience like that. Josh wasn't breathing very well. He was about six in the morning. He wasn't breathing. So I got him in the car, zoomed again, speeding. Policeman caught me, pulled over. I did the same thing. I jumped out of the car. I went up to him and said, my son isn't breathing. I'm on my way to hospital. He goes, well, go as fast as you can. So I'm not saying you can use these excuses. These were legitimate things. So I've enjoyed being let off when I should have been penalized in a very severe way. I trust we've all had nice experiences like that. But in our Bible reading, we learn of a man who certainly enjoyed being let off when he deserved something terrible, but he was set free. And that was the man Barabbas, as we read there in chapter 18. Just to give you the context here, Jesus had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane. The mob had taken him. He had been taken to the high priest. The high priest then took him to Pilate, and Pilate talks to Jesus. And as we read there in chapter 18, verse 38, Pilate makes that profound statement where he says, "What is truth?" Even though he was looking at truth himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And so Pilate was trying to release Jesus. He could understand that the Jews were only against him because of envy. Yet the Jews, when he thought he had come up with this foolproof plan where he gives them the opportunity to release one, as he did at the Passover, and you can release Jesus or Barabbas, they chose Barabbas instead. And it's this man Barabbas that I would like to have a look at this morning as we consider this Easter time, simply because Barabbas is a very good picture of us. If you want to try and picture yourself, what would I be like, or who would I be like at this time of Easter? Most of us should be like Barabbas. And so let's have a little look at this, the life of this man. Let's have a look, first of all, at his colourful career. John tells us that he was in prison. He also tells us that he was a robber. But there are a number of other things that we can learn about Barabbas. And if you turn over to Mark chapter 15, we learn a little bit more about this man, Barabbas. This is the same account, but Mark fills us in on a little bit more information. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 6, it says, "Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him." We'll leave it there for the moment. And so we see here that Barabbas was with a group of men who had been with him, who had made insurrection against the Roman government. Insurrection is simply to revolt against the civil authority, which were the Romans at this time. And so Barabbas wasn't what you call just a nice, simple man who lived a quiet, basic life. He was a troublemaker in the sight of the Romans, particularly. If you were to read the history books, you would find how Jerusalem at this time was a very unstable place. It's said that no one wanted to govern Jerusalem because the Jews were so hard to control and they were so hard to please. Moses discovered that. The Lord discovered that in the wilderness, and it had continued. It was a part of their nature. Very hard to control and very hard to please. And at this time, there were a lot of uprisings. There were a lot of problems amongst the Jews and also the Romans. And a part of the Jewish community would rise up against the Roman authority. And it seems as though Barabbas was a part of all this. The wording suggests that he was the leader of this insurrection as well. He was the one that led this insurrection against the Romans and started this riot. And so Barabbas wasn't what you call an innocent victim in all of this. He was there for a good reason. But we're also told in Mark's Gospel, if we read in verse 7, it says, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And so he not only had been involved, if not led this insurrection, but he had committed murder in this insurrection as well. Maybe killed one person, maybe killed a number of people, we're not told. But he was willing to take another man's life to get what he wanted. And so we learn just from these two Gospels that he was obviously a troublemaker in the sight of the Romans. He was a robber and he was a murderer. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 27, talking about the same man, we learn one more thing about him. Matthew chapter 27 verse 16, it says, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. So he wasn't just one of the prisoners, but he was a notable prison. Now maybe he was well known because he was known as one of the leaders of these groups who stood against the Romans. Maybe he was well known because he was known as a criminal. People knew him. The worst criminals are usually well known. You know, we know a Ned Kelly. Why? He was infamous. And there are many others. There are a lot of criminals we don't know of, but you usually hear of the worst. And so he was well known for one reason or another. And there's one thing that we can be very sure of when it comes to Barabbas, and that is, as he sat in that prison, he knew his fate. He would have had no doubt what was awaiting him. He wouldn't have been sitting there wondering, I wonder if they're going to let me off. I wonder if the Romans won't kill me. I wonder if there's somehow I can talk them around this. No, he and everybody else would have known very clearly what his fate was. Under the Roman rule, troublemakers didn't last very long at all. The law was very strict, it was very organized, and criminals such as thieves, murderers, and particularly those who took part in insurrection were crucified. Now that doesn't give Barabbas much of a chance. He was a robber, just like the thieves that died on both sides of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was more than that, he was a murderer. But even worse still in the sight of the Romans, he was somebody who led an insurrection against their government as well. And so he only had one destiny, and that was the cross. See, the Romans made people like this, they made their deaths very public. And they made sure it was very gruesome to deter others wanting to do the same. And so they had him pinpointed, and he and everybody else knew what he was in for. But Barabbas finds himself in prison at the same time as another man. And he was infamous or notable as well. But he was notable for everything different to Barabbas. He was notable for doing good. He was there because he was envied by the religious leaders. And on this morning, when Pilate offered to release one of the prisoners, the Jews had a choice to make. Barabbas or Jesus? Now to me that seemed like a pretty simple choice. You know, when you consider the comparison, Barabbas stole from others. We're told that he was a robber, while Jesus only gave to others. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He gave health to the sick. He gave food to the hungry. He went around giving, never stealing. Barabbas took life from others. He was a murderer. While Jesus gave life, we know of Lazarus, we know of that widow's son, we know of many others. There were many who had been risen from the dead. Maybe there that very day, that when they were screaming out, there were some in that midst who Jesus had given life to. Barabbas didn't care for others. person who steals and murders doesn't really care about others. They care about themselves. Where Jesus loved others, he did good for others. Barabbas disobeyed the laws of the land. We know that Jesus kept the laws of the land. He even paid his taxes as well. We know of that. He did what was right in the sight of the Romans when it comes to keeping the law. Barabbas was rightfully imprisoned. He deserved to be there where Jesus didn't deserve to be there. Barabbas deserved to die. He deserved to have punishment upon them. He deserved for people to turn against him, while Jesus deserved to be set free, and he deserved the people's loyalty. If there was one group of people that should have yelled from the top of their voice that Jesus should have been set free, it should have been these Jewish people that he lived amongst for a number of years, only going about doing good. And so as the multitude stood there in front of Pilate, they had to make a choice who to set free. Who did they want back into their society? Who did they want living amongst them? The one who went around doing good, or the one who went around doing evil? And I think Pilate thought it was a pretty easy choice. But much to his disbelief, they chose Barabbas. And so we read in Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. It says, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified." He released Barabbas unto them. And all of a sudden, Barabbas finds himself free. The crowd had chosen him instead of Jesus. And I often wonder what Barabbas must have been thinking that day. I'm sure he couldn't believe it. I'm sure he thought the people had rocks in their head. I'm sure he was certainly relieved. I'm sure he understood that he had escaped death by the skin of his teeth. But we're not told what he did afterwards. I thought it was interesting. There was a movie on the TV yesterday about Barabbas, and I don't believe that's what happened, but it was interesting to look at it anyway. We're not told what came of Barabbas. If he felt terrible, knowing that he got let off when Jesus didn't, or if he didn't care less and he just took off and he was making his way out of that place, or if he was moved and he's changed. We don't know if he hung around that day to see what happened to the Lord Jesus. We don't know if he was amongst that crowd and he watched the Lord Jesus be crucified, knowing that he should have been the one there. We don't know. But I'm sure he knew that he was the one that was meant to be punished. And Jesus took his place. And you know, although Barabbas was certainly very undeserving of his release, we shouldn't be too harsh on him. Because the reality is, he is simply a picture of us. And that's what we need to stop and remember as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Barabbas stole. I'd like to know if there's anyone here who hasn't stolen something, or at least coveted after. Most of us have stolen something. Barabbas was a murderer. I don't know of any murderers in our midst. But Jesus said, if you have hated someone without a cause, you have committed murder already in your heart. We know Barabbas didn't care about others. How often have we been cruel and we've acted in a manner where it's shown that we don't care for others? He was rightfully imprisoned and deserved death. And the reality is, if you're a Christian, you've already admitted that you deserve to be punished for all eternity. And you deserve hellfire because you have sinned against God. Yet we know that Barabbas was set free. And as Christians, that's what we can rejoice in. That we have been set free from the punishment of sin. And we know that Jesus was punished while Barabbas went free. And that's exactly what happened for us. Jesus was punished. and we were set free. And when we hear the story of Barabbas and hear how he was set free, we should remember that that really is simply a picture of us. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3, this is the key passage for us. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." You know, Barabbas, if he could read this, he would be able to say, "Yes, I'm the unjust and the just died." But the reality is, we can all, that's talking about us, we are the unjust. But the just one, Jesus Christ, died in our place so that we can go free. You know, wouldn't it have been a terrible thing if Jesus didn't die and Barabbas died instead? What we look at today certainly would mean nothing if it was Barabbas who died for us. But now it was the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God. And he died for us. And so that's just a simple thought today. And just giving thanks how the just one was died for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, as he hung on that cross, he bore our sins in his own body on that tree. And Father, as we behold him in our mind, as we consider that cross of Calvary, each one of us can honestly say he died there for us. And he took our place. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.